Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. You know, obviously when you read Paul's epistles and you read the book of Hebrews, there's kind of this perpetual pattern that happens, and that is instruction and exhortation, instruction and warning, instruction and then responsibility. And something I noticed recently that I hadn't thought about in this way before, and that is when Paul, especially in his epistles, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, when he starts encouraging the believers towards certain action, almost predominantly, it's always in relation to things we need in relation to one another. It's almost always our need to maintain with godly, practical relationship to maintain our conduct to each other in a right way. So let's, in light of that, you know, sometimes we read these exhortations like in Colossians 3, 12 through 15, which is what we're going to read. Sometimes we read this as if we're an island and it's just about us and the Lord, but it's not. Virtually everything he says in these four verses are exhortations that we have to maintain right horizontal relationships. Now this morning, some of you are here and you're not a part of this fellowship, but I hope you are a part of a fellowship somewhere. So I want you to think this morning, in relation to this passage and in relation to what I'm going to exhort you about, I'm not going to teach, I'm not going to do exposition. I'm going to prod you. I'm going to exhort you. I want to stir you up to make sure that something is fresh. And that is that every relationship you have within your church is right. That there's not a single brother or sister in your church that you can't look at them in the eye and know that things are right with them. And that you know you have no walls between you and them. No unforgiven sin. No barriers. No offenses. No bitterness. This very area is the main thing that robs churches of sweet fellowship, of God's blessing. The psalmist said, where brethren walk together in what? Unity. There the Lord commands the blessing. So this morning, I want you to think about this message as a personal exhortation to you, for you to examine your relationships with your brethren that you walk with. Every sister in relation to every other sister. Every brother with brother. Every couple with other couples. Single brethren here. Your relationships. Are they right? Are they fresh? Are they real? Or are they alienated? Are they broken? Do you have to avoid some brethren in church during meetings because things really aren't right with you? So you kind of, you know, you have to avoid them. Let's read Colossians 3, 12 through 15. In light of the horizontal relationships, does this describe you and your walk with those in the body that you are a part of? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels or inner realities, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone, any man has a quarrel against any, that might be a tiny little thing, a disagreement, or it might be a big thing. Let me just interject. I was given counsel in the last 2 weeks in a situation where a man and his wife, who are professing believers, are suing their own son, who's a believer, over a civil matter. Unbelievable. And all three of them really are believers. And they're in this quagmire of a problem over a family situation. So, do these things happen among professing believers? Yes. Is it easy for a relationship that once was fresh and real and good to have problems, minute problems or bigger problems, and you're not maintaining the relationship? You're avoiding it, and you ought to be making sure, as much as lies within you, that it's right. You know, we sing "Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior." How about "Nothing Between Me and My Brother"? Forgiving one another. If anyone has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, divine love, love like Jesus' love, which is the bond of perfection. Well, let's pray again, ask the Lord to speak to us. Father, I pray in this hour that you would make real what you would want to say to us. Help us to hear your voice. Help us, Lord, in light of what the New Testament calls us to, how we're to walk, how we're to live, how we're to relate. Help us, Lord, that every relationship would be fresh and right. Thank you. We ask you to speak and bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Every relationship within the church, right? Can you say with a clear conscience before God today, I know as much as I can know, I know with a clear conscience, I know with confidence before the Lord that I have nothing against any brother or sister. I know as much as I can know that every relationship that I have in the body is right. This is an exhortation to you, an encouragement to you towards something that is really important for us to maintain. And we must maintain this reality, because the most important people, the most important believers for you to love are those you worship with and walk with regularly. Is it more important for you to love John Piper or each other here? It's easy to love Piper, isn't it? You don't have to walk with him. You don't see his warts and his sins. You don't put up with his inconsistencies regularly. So it's harder, but it's more important to love those in your church than those other believers elsewhere. So the brethren in your church, it's the most important and challenging reality to daily, weekly, year after year, walk in love toward one another. When the honeymoon's over, when being at the church is no longer a romance, it becomes a mundane routine of seeing each other regularly. It's easy to see friends at a conference and love them and enjoy them. It's easy to go to India or Romania on a mission trip and to love the brethren there. It's very easy to do that. It doesn't take spiritual maturity to do that. It doesn't take sacrifice, because you're with them and it's fresh. And then you get on a plane and you leave and you're not walking with them anymore. Where the rubber really hits the road, where the real test is, the brothers and sisters that I walk with every week, am I loving them? Or am I letting things rob our relationship in any way? Because in your own church, after a year, 10 years, 30 years, it can become more difficult. Why is it harder to love the brethren we walk with? Well, it's because We rub one another. We live and walk shoulder to shoulder. We can't hide our imperfections. And we sure do see the imperfections of others quicker than we see our own. It becomes more difficult because we get used to one another and we disappoint one another and we hurt one another and we neglect one another and we walk by one another at church and someone is hoping you'll speak to them and you don't, and it's not purposeful, it's just your mind somewhere else, and they might get their feelings hurt because you didn't give them any attention. So things happen. We can easily at times fail one another, sin against each other, act harsh, act unloving, act judgmental, be negligent in our relationship, and settle in where our relationships get in a rut. And some we really love and others we kind of tolerate. It ought not to be that way. We ought not to settle in just tolerating one another, but we ought to radically pursue love of all the brethren. Not those that you have a lot in common with. Not those that you are alike. Not mothers that all have young babies together and you're just sharing those common frustrations and common burdens. But all of us seeing one another as brethren that we're walking with and we're called to love each other, all of us. We settle in too easily. But here's the question. If we are called to love one another consistently in reality, it means that we don't have preference toward one another. We don't have respect to persons toward each other. You don't treat others more special than you would treat anyone in the body. If we're called to love all, then here's the question. How can I know if I'm loving my brothers and sisters or not? How can I know if I'm walking in love toward you? How can I know? It's a joy to my heart that I can think of our church in Denton and I can think of every man and every couple and every brother and every sister there. And I can honestly say before God with a clear conscience, there is not any relationship that is wrong, that is strained, that is broken, that there's a barrier between us, that I can walk with joy and I can walk in any time to any meeting and I can go to any one of them and I can hug them and know that the relationship's fresh and right. That's how it ought to be. And that's what you, not just the leadership, but the least among us, the newest Christian to this place, ought to be able to say, I want to love all the brethren genuinely. How can I know if I'm doing that? What shows me if real love in my heart is present or absent toward any of my brothers or sisters? Here's the answer. How do I know if I'm loving you? Here's the answer. Is my relationship currently right with you? Or is there a problem that I have not done what I can to fix it? Have I taken up offense? Have I wronged you? Have I failed? Has something come in to try to drive a wedge between us? And there's a barrier. There's a sin. There's something that's gotten out of kilter. There's something that's broken. And I've not done what I can to make it right and make sure that it's gone. How is it in your heart and your relationship with every brother or sister in the church? Now here's what I mean. Not everyone has as deep a friendship with some people as with others. God makes some people spiritually closer together. There's a deep relationship. And He lets some believers in a church maybe have a deeper love between them than with others. The Lord Jesus, John the Apostle, was the one that laid his head on Jesus' breast. There was an intimacy there that some of the other disciples did not have. I'm not talking about deepness. I'm not talking about deep friendship or a closer relationship with everybody. The issue is not closeness. You don't have to be equally as close to everybody, but the issue is, am I right? Is our relationship right, or is it damaged? This morning, when you think about all your brethren, can you say, our relationship, as far as I know, is not damaged? My relationship with my brother or sister in this church is not damaged as far as I know. Is my relationship current and right and good and unbroken and ongoing with every brother or sister that I walk with in the body? Or, if I'm honest and I think of someone within the church that the Lord brings to mind, and I have to be honest and say, there's damage in that relationship. There's alienation there. There's a brokenness there over something. There's an unhealed relationship there. There's been negligence. I haven't talked to them in weeks. I haven't shown them that I care about them. I haven't shown them that I appreciate them in weeks or longer. I avoid some people because I don't feel close to them. But it is a great joy to be able to say, the Lord being my witness, my conscience before God, I can honestly rejoice that I know my heart is toward all of my brothers and sisters that I walk with. You know you're walking in love toward the body and toward your brethren when every relationship is really right. That's the test of love. You don't have to agree on everything. You don't have to all use the same Bible translations. You don't all have to view homeschooling the same way. And God help us that we don't judge one another or look down upon one another with condescension if we have different preferences in some area. But we are to truly be walking in love, meaning to have a current right relationship that I know nothing is wrong. When things go wrong, when you get crossways in any way with a brother or sister, are you an initiator to get it restored? Think of the Lord Jesus after the resurrection. Peter's floundering flop of threefold denial after the resurrection, what did the Lord say? Tell the disciples and Peter, I'll meet them. Jesus was taking initiative to restore. Jesus says to him three times, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? What's Jesus doing? He's taking the initiative to restore a relationship that Peter knew he had wounded. Are you an initiator in restoration of relationship? Or do you stay back selfishly, timidly, and you don't ever initiate things being right until you're cornered somehow and you have to make it right? This is an amazing reality, brethren, that for the church to be healthy and for love to flow and for the Spirit of God to visit us, each of us must maintain right relationships in every way we can, as much as it depends on us. Now, it doesn't all depend on us, because you can be right with someone and they not be right with you. You can build a bridge and they can try to destroy it. You can have a clear conscience toward others and they're not toward you. That's between them and the Lord. But as much as it depends on you, you be right and you maintain right relationships. We have to have a current right attitude of heart, because the greatest damage that comes to any church that leads to problems is relationships getting neglected. Or it's brethren forming in their minds and hearts judgments toward one another, and you form opinions of superiority, and you're making judgments in the heart, which means you stand at a distance, you formulate your opinion about that person, you're making judgments about them, but you aren't engaging to love them and walking with them. Just forming judgments. That's what Jesus meant when he talked about the wrong kind of judging. Judge not, lest you be not judged. So, Are we truly walking in love with one another? If you know of any relationship that is not currently right, you are to endeavor yourself to mend it. You're the one that's supposed to fix it. If I know that something's wrong in a relationship, and I'm like a horse or a mule that Psalm 32 says, don't be that way. Don't be stubborn and refuse. If I know something's wrong and I won't fix it, then I should stop expecting God to speak to me. I should stop reading books. I should stop talking about missions. I should stop all the talk and first get things right before I pursue any more. If God's shown me something and I don't walk in the light of it, I don't obey what He's shown me, why should He say any more to me? Why, if He puts a finger on me about a relationship and I know it's got to be right, I know for sure if John Dees and I, which we've never had any of this, but if we had a dilemma in our relationship and we both knew something wasn't right between us, I had hurt him, I had sinned against him, or the other way around, and we both knew we were going to see each other today for the first time, I promise you, he would be coming to me, I'd be coming to him, and we would get it right before we started singing, wouldn't we? How easy it is to come into church and a relationship not be right, and then we want to sing the songs of God. If you come to worship, and you come to bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has aught against you, stop your singing, stop your worship, go get it right, and then come and offer your gift. How about it? Is every relationship right? You ought not to go to bed tonight without making sure of it. Because your bones might start rotting and your strength might start drying up like the heat of the summer. If you keep silent about it, it seemed like we heard that not long ago. You see, what happens is, here's what we do. There's a problem in a relationship and we begin to rationalize and justify and make mental excuses. Well, it'll take care of itself. No, it won't. Well, it'll create more problems than it'll solve if I go to him. No, it won't. Well, it's just going to have to be that way. No, it doesn't. Well, there's been too much time passed. No, there hasn't. Well, there's too many differences between us. No, there are not. Maybe I've left out your excuse, but it's still, the answer is, it is always right to make things right. It is always wrong to leave a relationship damaged somehow. And the reason some true Christians won't get relationships right, I think there's three major reasons. Number one, it's too scary. It's scary to go to someone and say, brother, I think there's been something between us. It isn't right. I'm sorry, I don't want that to be that way. It's scary to do that, isn't it? It is. It's fearful. It's way outside some people's comfort zones to do that. It scares people to initiate making things right. Secondly, it's too painful to go and to say, listen, We've not been right in our relationship. It's too painful for some people. Thirdly, some people are just too proud. They want to leave it on the other person. And the other person may not even know there's a problem. And you've wronged them, or you feel like you've sinned against them, or you feel legitimately that they did wrong you, but you're too proud to go. Too scared, too painful, too proud. And so, you leave it undone. Listen, things undealt with will only do damage down the road. About 5 years ago, we had a grease fire in our kitchen, and I got burned on my hands and arms. And so, one of the ladies in our church gave us some burn ointment, and I just put it on those burns. And well, after about a week, I had these blisters that were about half inch high, and so I thought, well, you know, they'll heal up. So finally, the pain got worse and worse, and so Linda took me to the doctor, and the doctor looked at me and basically said, "What is wrong with you? Why haven't you gone to the hospital for this yet?" And I didn't have an answer. So she drove me to Parkland Hospital in Dallas. And this young surgeon looked like he could have been my grandson. He looked about 17. I mean, I'm not old enough to have a 17-year-old grandson, but he says, "Well, here's how we do this." He took these scissors and he cut every blister off and all the dead skin, and then he poured in this antiseptic soap, and he took this brush with tiny little bristles and he scrubbed every one of them. Now, I did have some morphine, but I still felt it. In great reality, I felt it. But you know what happened? After that, he poured in that white ointment and he put it on there, and instantly, from then on, I had no more pain. When the pain of something damaged is more than the fear of you getting it fixed and healed, then you'll fix it. But you cannot neglect damage relationships. They will not improve, it will not get better, and you will not walk in love toward that person, because you will stay spiritually separated and alienated. You feel close to some people in this church and the relationship's marvelous. But some of you don't feel as close to others. And those relationships, the Bible says, the body is built up by that which every joint supplies. You young believers that are in here, you have a supply of the Holy Spirit. And you need to be encouraging others. You need to be pursuing others. Don't just be sponges and soak it in. Give your heart. Give your love. Give your service. Be an encouragement to the older ones in your example. And pursue relationships that you haven't even developed yet. There's marvelous deposits of grace in all of you that need to come out and flourish in relationships. But a damaged relationship can rob you of doing that with everyone. You're a joint. I'm a joint. We're all a joint in the body. And the body is built up by that which every joint supplies. Some of you may need healing in some relationships that you've had. Something's hurt one. Something has damaged a relationship. And it's not been dealt with. How serious, how important is it to make sure that your relationships are right? If loving as Christ loved is important, then it's important. If having a clear conscience and a good testimony is important, then it's important. Because a brother or a sister here may know that you aren't right with them. What is your example and your testimony conveying to them when you're not willing for it to be healed and right? Your conscience and your testimony are damaged. If the health of the church is important, then this is important. Every relationship right. None wrong. Doesn't mean you're close the same to everybody. It means no relationship's wrong. None is damaged. You are endeavoring for every relationship to be right. How serious? Here's a question for you. As a member of the body, as a member of this church, as a member of what church you're a part of, how serious do you view your relationship with every other member of the body? How serious do you view that? And when you think about any relationship within your church, can you say, "I have good relationships," or "I have ones that are unresolved, that have not been mended"? We haven't cut the dead skin off and exposed the burn, and in the fear and the scariness, in the painfulness, in the dealing with the pride of it, We've not dealt with it. So it's just festering there. It's not going to heal unless you heal it. Don't expect the Spirit of God to do what He's told you to do. Forgive. Make it right. Go to them. Restore it. Before this day is over, if there's something, make sure it's right. When relationships aren't right, then we aren't walking in love. And we are not obeying Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He was a restorer of the broken relationship with one of the inner circle. Any of you got to have restored that you know this morning is an issue. When relationships aren't right, we're hurting ourselves, we're hurting our church, we're not honoring the Lord. Every prompting from Him that we neglect and we resist in relation to making something right, every prompting we neglect or resist, we are quenching the Holy Spirit when we leave that unhealed relationship still unhealed. When we're not right with others, we have to avoid them, we have to silently tolerate them, we have stopped lovingly relate to them if there's a damaged relationship. We have stopped dealing with the hindrances, and we're not doing that which makes for peace. And it's not going away. If this is an issue for you, here's the question. Do you really want to neglect and leave that unhealed relationship the way it is toward one for whom Christ died? Do you want to leave it unhealed? Do you want to leave it damaged? Do you really want more weeks or months to pass and there will be no improvement in that relationship? But when relationships are right, when they're really right, you know what it means? It means you are doing all in your power to maintain them. I'm not harboring grudges because he hurt me, or I felt like he neglected me, or he didn't listen to me, or they didn't invite me over when they invited somebody over. I'm not harboring ill. I'm not making judgments. I'm not going to give in to bitterness. I'm not going to be selfish when I feel like I'm being neglected in the body and everybody else is getting what they seem to need. When relationships are right, it means that we're maintaining them, giving attention to them, and we're fixing them when they're broken. It's like car maintenance. If it's broken, get it fixed or you'll have more problems down the road. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, and nothing between my soul and my brethren. When relationships are right, you know what happens? Love is real and it's fresh and it will flow. There's no barriers. You could say to anyone in the body, you could call them up, hey, y'all come over Friday night. Let's have popcorn and watch a movie. We want to be with y'all. Do you have time? You can say that to anyone where there's no barriers, where you know the relationship's right, or do you have to avoid them? No tension, no conflict. Healthy relationships make a healthy church life. So, what am I to do? What are you to do? Matthew 18:15 says, if someone's wronged you, go to them and tell them. You don't go with an accusing spirit. You go in meekness. You go in humility. You go in love. And you go and you express in private, I have felt like that this was wrong between us, and I don't want it to be there. Is it wrong between us? I want to be right. You take the step. You take the initiative. Don't wait on them. Matthew 18:15 says, if someone has sinned against you, if they've wronged you, go to them. You go. And then it says, if he listens, you've what? You've gained your brother. All right, think about that listening. What if somebody comes to you and says, you know, I think you may have done me wrong. Are you going to swell up in defensiveness? Or are you going to do what Jesus said? Listen. If he listens, just hear them. Maybe they're right. You know, contrary to your own popular opinion, you're not right about everything all the time. None of us are. It's so easy to have blind spots. It's so easy for us to think, my views are right. And if there's a problem in this relationship, it's got to be them. No, it doesn't. It may very well be you. It may be 50-50, but God forbid that it's 75 you and 25 them. See, if someone comes to you and they feel like there's a problem, don't justify, don't rationalize, don't start planning your response in your mind and you're not hearing. Just shut down your planned words and your tongue and listen. Hear them. Hear them. Hear what they say. Hear their heart. Jesus says, if they listen to you, you've gained your brother. How many damaged relationships remain undamaged because we don't go, we don't listen, and we don't get healed? But there's joy that comes when that happens. There's freshness that comes when that happens. There's love that flows when that happens. Jesus said in Mark 11, when you stand praying, forgive. Just forgive. Now this means someone has sinned against you. He doesn't even tell you there to go to them. He just says, forgive them. You're praying and the Lord brings this to mind. And there's a barrier toward that person. You have something, an issue toward them. You're not free toward them. Right then, forgive them. Father, I forgive him. I release him. I'm not holding anything against them anymore. They're released to you. If when you stand praying, forgive. Forgiveness toward others is an issue between us and the Lord. It may not even ultimately result in anything between us and them. Because some people, you shouldn't go to them and tell them, I forgive you. You might be casting your pearls before swine. They may not can take that. They may be an unbeliever. It might be a relationship from the past. And you shouldn't go. It'd be unwise to go. We need divine wisdom in this. So forgiveness is between you and the Father to forgive them. When you stand praying, forgive. Matthew 5, if you are offering your gift and there you remember your brother has something against you, you go and be reconciled. Don't go to show them you're right and they're wrong. Go with a heart and an attitude and a spirit of reconciliation. Go and be reconciled. It's all on us. Christ, the head of the church, the head of the body, places this responsibility of every relationship being right. He places it on you. Not on Tim. He's got his own as a believer. He's got to do that. But it's not his job to make sure every relationship you have is right. It's your job. You walk in this. You maintain love. You maintain freshness in relationships. And when there's an issue, deal with it. When something breaks, fix it. When a wrong word is spoken between you, call them. Don't email them or text them. Call them. Let them hear your voice and hear your heart, or go see them and make it right. Maintain the relationships, every relationship right. So today, has God put His finger on one with you? And you don't have a clear conscience about this relationship. Here's the question. Will you fix it? Will you fix it before your head hits the pillow? Will you make that call? Will you humble yourself? Will you take the low position? Will you fix it? What are you forfeiting if you won't fix it? What are you gaining if you do fix it? Brethren, every relationship right. Is it that way with you? Let's not drum up things that are imaginary and that aren't real. But let's face the ones that are and make sure that every relationship we have within the body is right and healed and nothing between us. That's where love, brotherly love, will continue. Let brotherly love, Hebrews 13 says, let it continue. This is the only thing that'll rob it and hinder it, is a wrong relationship not being made right. Is it well with your soul in relation to your brothers and sisters? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are your sheep. We are your flock. We are members one of another. And we know that you want us to love each other. You want your children to walk together in right relationships. Oh Lord, would you search our hearts today? Would you grant us grace to cast away the fear and the pride, and Lord, to make sure that we can do everything within our power to make sure that our relationships are right. Father, work in our hearts. Let us know the freedom of not only being right with you, but of being right and healed in our relationships with our brothers and sisters. Thank you for your truth. May your Spirit grant us grace to obey your voice in this important area, Father. Bless this dear church. Bless this body. And may the love continue. May the love flow. And may no relationship continue in any way to have damage. Lord, heal everyone. And start with the brother or the sister that's willing to humble themselves and to go. Thank you. In Christ's name, Father, hear our prayer. Amen.